G'day, JB.
Is that we've started?
I think we have started.
Good, good. Well, hey.
How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate.
You're
good.
Looking hot, mate. If I can paint a picture for the listeners out there.
This is good for an audio
medium. Wearing quite the tuxedo, my friend.
I am, yeah, I'm actually in full penguin.
Full penguin, tux. Yeah, quite literally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've briefly taken off my cummerbund just for the pod, just to sit down.
Your cummerbund.
Cummerbund.
Cummerbund?
Cummerbund.
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 Oh, good on you, mate. But you're looking hot.
Yeah, mate. Looking hot, feeling hot. Ready to go. We've got the Motorsport Magazine's 100th anniversary black tie dinner tonight. So you're yet to get changed. I've just arrived ready.
Yep. As you normally do.
Naturally, mate. Naturally. It's been a busy week. But... well, I was going to say, should we kick it off with some wine? But we've gone slightly off the beaten track today, just slightly.
Just busy, you know. We've been busy this week, so we haven't quite figured a wine. But thanks to my alcoholism...
We're recording a pod, at least.
We're recording a pod and... Well, no, that's not due to my alcoholism,
no,
though.
No, it's
but thanks to my alcoholism...
Spite.
There is some tequila there on my wall, and so we decided to sample a bit of Clase Azul for you.
Beautiful.
A bit of Clase Azul Blanco.
Beautiful.
So, out of the range, the cheapest one. Blanco, obviously, being the one that's not been fermented in oak barrels.
Okay.
And aged, sorry, let's say, in oaked barrels.
Gotcha.
You know, in tequila, it's very similar to wine. You've got your bog standard, let's say, your standy, which you're trying to basically age as less as you can.
How do you want to taste it? What are you looking for when you taste it?
It's very similar to wine, mate. You've got to give it a... And then a...
Just get it in the old...
Get in the old honker there. It smells pretty strong. That's the thing.
This is a strong pour.
It's very hard to discern with liquors. A lot more difficult, let's say.
It smells like cleaning product. Somewhat. It smells a little bit like...
The fact that I just tried to smell the mic instead of the drink...
Yeah, that was bad from you.
That's terrible. Oh, no, you do get some notes of...
I think it's is this a lime cordial?
Yes, a little bit of lime.
Yeah, that might be what I'm getting. That might be the cleaning product I'm getting, because you know how often they smell like lemon lime, sort of, you know, your citrus notes.
Citrusy notes. You got a bit of elderflower in there as well. Sort of a...
I mean, tequila's always quite earthy, I find.
Very much so. A little...
Can smell and sometimes taste a bit soily.
Hint of leather as well. Slight. Very slight. But this is just on the tip of the nose there.
There's something in there I'm not picking up. Maybe I'll get it on the tongue.
Obviously, I think it's very fair to say, James, I'm in possession of a massive honker.
Yeah, you are. Well, you're French.
I've got a huge nose.
You big French honker.
Quite a beak on my face.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, I would say, a bit easier for me to discern sort of flavors. Not flavors, let's say smells.
Smells, there you go.
For myself, compared to you with your sort of... Very normal, sort of, proportionate nose.
Yeah, I've got quite a straight honker. It's very angular.
But it's angular.
Knows where it's going.
It does know where it's going.
Yeah. Right, should we get this on the palate?
We shall.
Could do with some ice.
It could do with a little bit of ice.
It's quite nice, though.
Quite smooth. Quite smooth. You haven't quite got that sort of... It's not really a...
It hasn't offended me in the way some quite strong tequila sodas can. You know, if like when you take that, you know, Rascas?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Horrendous.
Night? Yeah. Too much.
Too much tequila, too little soda.
Yeah. I mean, a rare complaint in any bar.
But looking at this tequila in particular, very smooth. Now, I am a big fan of the Clase Azul. Purely based on the fact that it really hasn't quite got this harsh aftertaste that you can get with the Don Julios.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But no, yeah, Clase Azul, very, very smooth there, the Blanco.
It's the Dom P of tequila. It really is.
It really... see, I'm not a big fan of Dom P. I'd go to Cristal. It
gives you the shit.
It's Cristal of tequila.
Mm.
You know, very fine, very smooth, easy to drink. And can make for a great cocktail, the Blanco, because obviously...
Does. Very diverse, isn't it?
Very diverse. And the more obviously, you go up in range there at Clase Azul, the less you really want to mix it up with a cocktail, and you just have it either neat or on the rocks.
Yeah, no, too
and
right.
That's why I think the Blanco is essentially your drink of choice if you want to make some tequila-based cocktail.
No, absolutely. I don't think you've gone too far wrong there. Out of 10 for you? For me, bear in mind... Like, I know how good Clos Azul can get. I mean, I'm not going to take points off the alcohol for the lack of ice. That's our fault.
Yeah.
8-2? An 8-2?
8-2, that's a solid, so really solid
high.
Grade there.
Really high
very,
from me.
Very high from you. You're normally quite a critical fellow. So
Yeah.
No, I'd go 7-5. 7-5, knowing full well that my sort of reposado for me is more around the sort of 8-6 region.
Yeah.
And then the Añejo, so the, let's say, oak aged for 12 months. Mm-hmm. So the upper range is really, for me, close to a 9.
Yeah.
Which for me is the peak of the peak.
That you're having that on the rocks. Otherwise, it's criminal not to have that on the rocks.
To be honest, cool it down, have it neat. That's the best way to do it. Because you don't want the rocks to dilute it, especially when you're getting to that sort of price range and that sort of pristine liquor.
Look, I see where you're coming from, and the purist of me agrees with you, but there's something about just hearing those, you know, ice cubes rattle around in your glass. Kicking back for the day, shake them around. So, sure. Fair enough. Okay. Well, should we talk about some car racing?
Well, plenty to talk about.
Yeah. So we had Austria.
Austrian Grand Prix.
No Indy.
Quite the hectic weekend, though.
Yeah. So we can just go full FIA on this.
To be honest, it's been a full weekend
for
me in terms of sport.
Just very quickly, has anything happened in IndyCar? Has McLaren signed anyone?
No, they haven't. So it's the contracts have remained consistent.
Slow news week at McLaren.
Slow news week at McLaren there. Well, at least in the IndyCar paddock.
Yeah, indeed.
No, it was a busy weekend of sports for me. You know me, massive cyclist nowadays. Big time in the Tour de France. Tour de France as well.
And actually, I was talking to somebody about this recently, and they pointed out the fact that the Tour de France is going to be, or was, in Bologna over this past weekend.
It was indeed.
We're going this weekend.
It went through the Imola track.
There you go.
It actually did the last seven corners of the Imola track.
I thought you would have been out there a week early with your yellow jersey on, number one fan, cheering on your
hey, look, mate,
I've got cycling heroes.
Busier things to do, just like this podcast.
Yeah,
but this is obviously the Tour de France started. We've had the Euros on for the last couple of weeks.
We have.
And that is indeed crisis of the day.
It's finally starting to get interesting.
It is finally starting to get to the crunch times. It was a crunch.
Nice one, mate.
But if we look back at sort of racing news here, so pretty straightforward weekend there from the Formula 3s.
Yes.
Luke Browning.
Oh, shout out to
Luke Browning. Doesn't need a toe. Man does his qualifying lap with no toe, poles the bloody thing, and then just goes out there and drives away from the rest in the feature.
That was impressive.
Impressive. Takes the championship lead.
No
Fornaroli with my ex-team there, Triton. They're in P2 still, or I believe P3. I believe Mini. They're all within 10 points of each other there. Gabriele, Mini, Fornaroli and Browning. So it's looking like a pretty tight championship fight there for the Formula 3. Mm. Formula 2, Isaac Hadjar, huge engine problem in qualifying.
Had a bit of a blow up. Yeah, still costing too much. P7 he was, P8?
P7 in the first one, and then, no, sorry, out of the points in the first one, but third in the feature.
Of course, yeah.
Pepe Marti getting an unfortunate penalty, to be honest, because when you're within 1 second of going into the pit lane, you've already committed.
Did he get a pin for that?
He got a penalty, and the problem was the safety car line is actually the moment you leave the track. But the problem is you have to commit to the pit lane at the entry of the corner. You're not allowed to cross that line again. So unfortunately, he was about 20 meters behind that line when the VSC came out, couldn't do anything to rejoin the track.
Oh, what a fucker.
And still got a penalty for that, which, to be honest, I feel is a little bit unfair. From his end.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, he got a massive advantage on the field. So
yes, but
I mean,
look, it would have been a nice P4.
Oh, totally agree. I mean, I was up there for it. I wanted it to
and
happen.
And none other than Gabriel Bortoleto with a sterling drive.
Yeah, great stuff.
He
loved
was
to see
just
it.
So fast, so smooth, so consistent. Eerily reminiscent of his win last year. Where else other than Australia, where he made simply no mistakes. Just there, bang, bang, bang.
You're talking about the race, eh?
Yeah.
So no, he did a really good job. No mistakes. You kind of get the feeling that no one was taking that off him. Like even with Pepe's, you're like, he got that nice little jump at the VSC.
A drive like this makes a racing driver horny. I don't know if it did that to you, but it made me real horny.
I didn't get horny.
Well, I wouldn't say horny.
I have no recollection of becoming horny.
Almost. No?
I remained very asexual throughout the entire feature race.
As you usually do anyways. Yeah. Should we go open the door for Frankie?
Yeah, Frankie's here. So how do we pause this thing?
We don't pause it. We just keep it running.
We'll keep it running. Open the door and I'll keep him entertained if you like.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're back from a slight interruption.
That'll sound really weird on the transition, but we'll glaze over that.
Yeah.
So Gabby did a great job. Some pit lane stuff with Pepe.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Let's just say trouble-free Formula 2.
Yeah.
No big shunts.
Do you know what? Last weekend we had the return of Victor Martins in the sprint race. This weekend, Ollie Bearman.
Ollie Bearman. Yeah, indeed. Ollie Bearman, actually.
His first
great
podium
mention.
Of the year.
First podium, first win of the year. He's now finally got more points in Formula 2 than he did in Formula 1, which is...
Yeah, it's about time.
It was getting towards the time where he needed to score a bit more points. But is that... What can I say? The usual Ollie Bearman stuff when you're starting from P1. Good start.
Yeah.
Good launch. And just fucked off.
Yeah, he's great from
actually 12. From P2. Yeah, P2.
Somebody had a shitter, didn't they? Store. Oh, Hauger.
Hauger.
Somebody. That didn't look that much like a mistake to me. That looked more like he had all the revs on.
But to be honest, do you know what? It's been a surprisingly difficult season, I think, to get those cars off the line because we've had a few drivers messing up the starts. Antonelli stalled as well.
Yes, again.
I don't think those cards are as easy as they used to be to get off the line. And I actually heard somehow in the sort of cool down room that a few of the guys were saying that actually the ultra soft or super soft tires that they were putting on the cars, a lot of the guys were shying away from it, especially in the midfield, because it offered too much grip.
Yeah.
And so it's actually easy to stall because the car would actually have too much grip on the line.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, interesting stuff from Formula 2, but let's head on to Formula 1.
Kick it up a gear, eh?
F1. Let's kick it up a gear.
The big leagues.
And you know what? Fucking finally.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like Rosberg-Hamilton, wasn't it?
Very much so. It took me back to 2016. Good friends turned into enemies, eh?
Very true, isn't it? Childhood friend turned into adulthood foe.
Indeed. And it looks like the Max Verstappen Lando Norris
the gloves are off?
Has kicked into gear.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the gloves are off. I think that, you know...
We're not friends anymore.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I'd be surprised if there's that many pedal matches in the future.
Yeah, I don't think they can actually be that close anymore.
Well, I'm going to be fully honest with you. I saw this coming about 6 months ago.
Well, as soon as it... Look, you just can't be competing for a world championship with someone you're good friends with. You just can't.
Not just this. I think that when you look at Max and Lando, it's very similar to Lewis and Rosberg in terms of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different. Which sometimes works amazingly as friends.
Yeah.
Because look at me and you. Mm-hmm. Very different personalities. Great mates. If me and you were fighting it out on track, I'd want to strangle you.
Yeah.
But I think that if you look at that sort of rivalry between sort of Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton, two completely different personalities, both great drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Hamilton having won more championships, but Rosberg being there, you know, knocking on the door as much as he could when he could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying one is better than the other, but those personalities are completely different. I think Lando's a lot more... open. I think he's a lot more, you know, outgoing outwardly towards crowds and so on. Max is very much a racing driver that just shows up, mm-hmm. does the job, goes home, lives a very normal life off the racetrack.
Yeah.
And that can sort of, not only can it create a bit of a scenario where they used to be friends and now they're not anymore because they're crashing into each other, but you can also have these rivalries where I think it's going to start spicing up in the media.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's already from the British side.
Anti-Max, mate.
Rained terror on Verstappen. Like, oh,
which,
it's so funny.
In all honesty...
It was his fault.
It was his fault.
Yeah.
But if you're Lando Norris, there's a curb that you can use. And yeah, it's funny because I saw an onboard, actually, of Charles Leclerc's defense on Max Verstappen a couple of years back. Same track, same corner. And Leclerc actually did turn in on Max, very similar to the way Max did. And Max did take the curb. Yeah. Because in the end, there comes a point where you're like, well, if I just keep going straight.
Yeah.
This is not to say that it was Lando's fault. I don't believe he should have closed the door. But you can also save yourself going a little bit wide.
Yeah.
And then Lando had obviously more pace.
Similar to, it's been a couple of weeks now, we've all gotten over it. Similar to how we both said straight after Armstrong Lungard, Marcus, you could have just given that one up. You know what he's like. You know?
It's about knowing who you're racing exactly. against. And at the same time, though, as a literally neutral fan, what a race. I mean, dive bombs coming left and said, forget the first 30 laps, 40 laps. Just watch the last 30. You're in for a treat. I mean, dive bombs, slow pit stop, everything basically. You know, it was a boring race. Max was driving away with it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Lando's found a spot where he's like, I can actually win this. Mm-hmm. And holy shit, the thing turned on its head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a good race. It was a spicy after race. Obviously, as you said, Sky commentators fully buying Lando, which, in all honesty, was Max's fault.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that bad. Like, it wasn't horrendous.
It was reminiscent for me of Monza 21, where it was Lewis and Max parked on top of each other. Where it was like, it's his fault, it's his fault. Look, it's both of their faults for being stubborn bastards, and now look where it's got them.
But at the same time, this is coming from a driver, right? I probably wasn't and haven't been stubborn enough as a driver in a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what makes these guys great champions at times, and you've seen it with the Schumachers, you've seen it with the Sennas, they're ruthless. Mm-hmm. They almost believe in their right to win so much that if it turns into an incident, do they care?
Do you reckon there's almost some stripe earning that goes on if you, and I'm putting on a tinfoil hat here.
Yeah.
If you haven't won a championship and you're racing someone with a championship, when you go in wheel to wheel for the first time properly for race wins, do you have to have that couple of first moments of like, I'm not getting out of your way because of who you are? Because they'll always try, like you saw it with Lewis and Max, you know, whenever Lewis had the championships, he'd be like, well, you're getting out of my way. I'm Lewis Hamilton. And from 9 times out of 10, fair enough. But if you're racing against him and he's going to go, I'm getting past or we're going to crash, there's a few of those instances where you just have to go, well, let's fucking crash then.
Yes. At the same time, for me, the way Max drives, as sometimes unsporting as it may be, which
I love it.
Let's be honest, it is.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that Martin Brundle and anybody who has raced against Senna said? It's he will put you in a position where you either crash or you back out.
Or you give him the... Yeah.
And the moment you back out, the guy owns you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he knows you're going to back out every single time.
Mm.
So he's just going to repeat what he's doing, and you're just going to back out. To be fair to Lando, he didn't back out. And fair play. At some point, you got to play Max Verstappen at your own game.
No, exactly.
And you know what?
You take the DNF, and you've earned his respect now.
And
almost.
To be fair, roles reverse now, post this fight, I think Lando will fight him just as hard.
Oh, 100%.
And I think we're in for a great second part of the season.
Great for the sport. Look, we knock Formula One a lot. We do.
Yeah.
But we love to see it do well. And I think it actually has a chance here.
Well, I think it's got a heck of a fight for at least the next 2 years. The regulations aren't changing. If Max Verstappen doesn't move...
We've got we got Silverstone this weekend now. Yep. Lando went extremely well last year.
Indeed. That Red Bull is strong in the high speed too, so that's boding well for the Red Bull. So it's going to be a tight fight.
It's going to be a corker. I did see my favorite meme of the week was Lewis talking to Lando, and somebody put in the quotation over the top. It was just like, hey man, let me show you something for next weekend at Silverstone. It's a still shot of Hamilton just drilling Verstappen into the wall.
Well, look, let's hope it doesn't get to that.
No.
But no. I mean, if it does, it'll definitely be quite spicy.
It did tickle me though.
Oh, it's so good. It did me too. But hey, look, Formula One's on the up, I reckon.
Again.
And do you know what?
Shareholders at Liberty Media will be absolutely over the moon.
Indeed.
Because I've just bought MotoGP, Formula One's back.
And do you know what? I think a lot of people would tune into that race just to see part two.
I reckon Silverstone probably will have the highest ratings of any Grand Prix this year, bar, I'm going to say...
Monaco, probably.
Nah, no one watches Monaco.
Oh, they do quali.
What is the what Grand Prix has the highest TV rating?
Probably Monza, because it is a fairly...
First round obviously goes pretty good. Monza, yeah.
I reckon Monza, just from the overtaking point of view, you know, it's quite a hectic race. That's quite a lot of DRS zones.
That's interesting chat.
Austria's great as well.
Maybe that's something we... Actually, I'll tell you what, for next week's Crisis Control, why don't we look at all of the viewership figures for all of the Grand Prix, see that... Let's pick the bottom three stragglers and just see how we can improve...
The viewership
figures.
Yep, solid. Yep, yeah. I'm keen on that.
So that's next week's Crisis Control sorted. Should we pop down to the bunker now?
Well, we shall pop down.
We've got to go through this week's crisis. Yeah. I mean, without crisis control,
what are we here
you
for?
You know, you don't want to know what's going to happen.
No, exactly.
Right, let's go.
I don't know the sting. I can't remember the sting.
I'm just going to push any.
I think it was
E. Let's do a new one. Let's try F.
F?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's F's done. All right, we're in crisis room now.
Was that the same one as before?
I think we used E before.
Okay.
Anyways, James, you've got the crisis, and we're here to solve them. What are your crises?
Right, I've got an array.
Now, I've heard there was an England football one, which I'm particularly keen on.
Okay, so yeah, there's Southgate squad in crisis. Is Southgate in crisis as his squad heads for Euro defeat? That's negative.
That's very negative.
Chinese exporters raise fears of Christmas freight crisis.
Ooh.
So that could be trouble in the Suez.
Ooh, another one. There was a Suez trouble last year.
The Evergreen. Let's not get sidetracked. Boots crisis deepens as US owner Walgreens announces plans to axe stores.
Ooh, no.
And Boeing staff demand 40% pay rise amid 737 MAX crisis.
Look, plenty to choose from. Mm-hmm. A lot of crises around the world. I reckon I'm going to stick to what I know today. And I'm going to go for Gareth Southgate.
Okay, yep.
What do you think of that England team, brother? Especially the Euros happening right now. Everybody tuning in, probably.
As a man from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Who...
Really doesn't know much about football, right?
Doesn't give a shit about football.
Okay, yeah.
I actually really like watching England play. And I really like watching England do well. It's one of the sort of novelties you hear about this country.
Really?
As a foreigner. Yeah, because, you know, like, football's not really a thing in New Zealand.
Fair enough.
And I don't like the sport. No offense to anyone who's a footballer. I appreciate I'm the minority there. However, watching England play and getting all into... I quite like it. Like, you know.
See, the problem I have is I believe that England and France in this Euros have probably the single best teams out there in terms of pure talent.
Yeah.
I love the football. I love watching football, as you know. Big Chelsea fan.
Yes. Condolences.
Yes. Thank you. Unfortunately, one thing I have, I wouldn't say a hatred for, but...
Distaste
for is the England fans. Not all of them.
No.
The very few that like to cause the chaos.
Well, that's always it. The last Euro in Wembley, that kind of almost ruined it. I don't think I've actually watched a football match since then.
No, but that's exactly what I mean. The last Euros, I watched that documentary and I was profoundly distraught.
Yeah, you just it brings out... Do you know what? Sport really does bring out the best and the worst in people.
Yes. And when it brings out the worst... Especially with certain England fans.
IndyCar comment section.
Yes, that too. But especially in the England fan camp, sometimes some of those fans just... and that's why I think a lot of actual Westerners, not only that, but the hype the sort of it's coming home campaign, let's say. I think a lot of people actually want to see England do bad. I like a lot of their players, though.
Yeah,
I like the team. I like the players. Now, Southgate football.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, it lives and dies with the waistcoat for me. Ever since he got rid of the waistcoat, it's been fucking dog shit, mate.
That's a very observative and true point of view.
As a man who this evening himself will wear a cummerbund. I think I'm in quite the position. Again? A cummerbund.
A cummerbund.
A cummerbund. I think I'm in pole position to say he needs to bring back the waistcoat because, look, you talk about common denominators and performance. I mean, there's right there. The writing's on the wall.
To be fair, it's extremely observative from your point of view. I mean, I have to say, I didn't even notice it, but it turns out to be very true.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I particularly dislike about that team is their sort of urgency to pass the ball backwards.
Now, I love Pickford is their favourite player to pass to. Why? Anyway, this is turning into a real football podcast.
Well, look, we've picked the football crisis. How do we solve it?
Well, waistcoat.
Waistcoat number one. I think number two, you can't be scoring in your own goal. So which way have you got to go? Towards the opponent's goal. So how about passing it forwards?
Right. Have you just picked this crisis because you wanted to let some steam out about the England football team?
No, I like them. You know, actually, do you know what? I would love an England-France final.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd be supporting France, my home nation.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, I'd love to see it because it's
Zealand
for me.
New Zealand in the Euros. How do we get New Zealand in the Euros?
I reckon you've got to sort of geo-relocate the country.
Yeah, sort of re-establish a kind of Pangea situation.
What if you invaded the Canary Islands? Because if you did, technically you'd be in Europe. And then you could be a part of the Euros.
Look, on the optics of it, a good. It's a good idea on the surface. Here's where it falls over. Our Navy in New Zealand is a guy in a canoe with a shotgun.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I don't think NATO would be too pleased.
Are they going to notice if the Canary Islands go missing?
Look, mate, you never know. You don't want to take shots at NATO when you don't really want to. Especially knowing, have you got any nukes? Don't think so. So
me personally?
Not yourself.
No,
New Zealand.
Okay, well, no.
No, yeah. So yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to get on the bad side of NATO there, but...
Did NATO run a nuke?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much the North Atlantic Treaty operation with literally every single... with every single country in Europe and the US. So I'm pretty sure they do. In the worst case scenario,
so they've almost, there's more of like a licensing deal they've got. So they've kind of got the right of way on other countries' nukes?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to read into it.
Okay.
But
maybe that can be the week after next.
Look, mate, you're getting well in depth for my knowledge.
Do you reckon Clem's Wine Corner could tackle the international nuclear crisis?
I think Clem's Wine Corner...
I think we should build up to it.
We definitely need a couple of years there of hard work. And
might
sort of,
not have a couple of years, mate.
Yeah, we
might
may
need
not.
To get on this thing.
To be fair, we may need to.
Shit show of a presidential election going on right now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen by November?
Left, right and centre, the US, the UK, everything. It seems to be an election everywhere at the moment, which is great to watch.
What, sorry?
There's an election.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Not
an
erection, James. Elections everywhere. It's as a neutral and just a sort of an onlooker, great to watch.
Really stuck into an election.
How about we don't go down that political route, eh, James?
Let's best keep away from that in crisis control. Let's keep this crisis control and not crisis catalysts.
But anyways, back to the basic crisis. Football. Southgate. Get your waistcoat on and pass forwards, England. Pass forwards.
Yeah. Waistcoat and compass.
Compass.
Right. Well, so we need 11 compasses and one waistcoat for the England football team, and they'll be right as rain.
Sweet as.
That's the crisis solved. And that's another week of bloody...
Clem's Wine Corner,
isn't it? Yeah. This shitter of a podcast that we continue to do. Right. Thanks for listening, team. Is there any Screaming Meals news before we go? I think we've got the Le Mans video coming out this week.
We should do. Some more podcasts that we did about 6 months ago?
Yeah, maybe that one with Pepe Marti.
Let's see. But no.
Marti from the party.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in.
That'll do us. We'll see you next week.
Indeed. Cheers, ciao. Team.